Today, on this very auspicious day, Sri Aurobindo's birthday, we are gathered around as children of the mother, gathered around Kirit Bhai. A few days back, Dr. Kirit Joshi spoke to me about a project dear to his heart. And he also told me about what the mother had said to him regarding taking care of her children, giving them what they needed, which he alone could give. And he hastened to add that mother's children are not merely little children, but also all of us, including him. And so I proposed to him that we could have this format for exploration of the project which he proposed. And Kiriji's project, I have mentioned, it is a new synthesis of yoga as a necessity to overcome the impasse of modernity. Now this topic Kirit Bhai will explore with us.
Let me begin by saying that I feel quite privileged this evening to be with everyone, and as Debashish has explained, this subject which is dearest to me is to explore with everyone, first of all, the impasse through which modernity is passing, and to realize this impasse, and to see how this impasse can be crossed, can be surmounted, or can be resolved. At a given time, this impasse was seen to be such an impasse that it could not be crossed at all. It is for that reason that I regard Sri Aurobindo and the mother as the greatest helpers who have taken up the burden of this impasse. And what is extremely significant is that they have crossed the impasse. They have made a way, hewn a path, so that it may be easier for the whole humanity, depending upon certain conditions, also to cross this impasse. I think that it is in that context that the synthesis of yoga, which Sri Aurobindo and the mother have developed, is so important. And it is for that reason that we first of all need to study this synthesis of yoga and to understand this yoga to the best of our ability. Hello? And then to see how we can ourselves participate in the process of this yoga. This can be a long process, and I am prepared to be with all of you for as long as you think we can continue together, today and later on, periodically, and I shall be happy to be on this subject, and we shall develop this subject leisurely, in the sense that we need not cross over this subject rapidly like a capsule. We can explore this subject because it is extremely important, and to my mind, the most important subject of today. It is so important that if I am asked, what would you like to do for students of the world today, I would simply say that if I can discuss with them this question, and if I can explore this question with them, I'll be fulfilled. This is what I would regard to be perhaps the task to be carried out for young people today. Let me therefore begin this subject by saying that we need to look upon ourselves as pilgrims. We are on a journey, and we are all together, and let us assume that each one of us wants to do the best, to reach the highest, and wishes to be fulfilled up to the highest possible limit, or even limitlessly. And if we are traveling together, we shall ask, what exactly is a starting point? Where are we? Because each one of us has journeyed enough. The history of the world also has journeyed for millions of years, and we have arrived at a certain point. Even human history has been quite long, and it may be quite useful for us to summarize, first of all, it is a human history. Now, there are many ways by which you can summarize human history, and I should like to share it with you in the Gift Divine, which is the magnum opus of Sri Aurobindo. There are several places where he has summarized the whole history of the world in different contexts, and for different purposes. I have before me one passage, it's one paragraph, where he has summarized in one paragraph the entire human history. It is in the second volume of the Life Divine. The chapter is entitled The Divine Life. And for those who might have access to the Life Divine, I shall give them the reference exactly of that page on which one can read at leisure and reflect on it. Because among several paragraphs of this kind, I think this is such a succinct and precise summary of the world history that it brings us rapidly from the ancient time to the present day and shows exactly where we are now facing an impasse. In this paragraph, Sri Aurobindo proposes that ultimately the human race can find justification of its existence if it can arrive at individual perfection and collective perfection. And in order to arrive at that perfection, Sri Aurobindo makes one basic premise which is extremely significant. He points out that human nature is complex. And this word is very important. Human nature is complex. It has got many elements and many parts. And these parts are not absolutely in harmony with each other. First of all, he has got a physical aspect, and then vital mental aspect, and then a spiritual aspect. And then Sri Aurobindo points out that since we are all on the physical earth, and in a sense we are all children of the earth, it is quite natural that human nature aims first of all at establishing a physical base of existence as securely as possible. And once that is done, there is a further search. And Sri Aurobindo points out that the development of the mind would be the second occupation of man. And in the history of the world, he refers to the Hellenistic period, where the human mind came to be developed to a great extent. And the early Greek civilization stands out as an example of a state of humanity, at least in that part of the world, where some kind of mental faculties were developed and some kind of harmonization was aimed at. As a result of which, Greek civilization and thereafter later on, Roman civilization, as it is known, Greco-Roman civilization, developed. And Sri Aurobindo said, in a sense, when Roman civilization tried to capture Greek civilization itself was weakened to some extent because, again, there was a tremendous pressure in Roman civilization towards rule of law and organization, and they collided with the free movement of the mental consciousness and its development. Thereafter, there was a need for a higher development because spirituality is a higher element, and that was the element that should normally pressurize human beings to develop in that direction. In ancient civilizations, Sri Aurobindo says, particularly in the East, the message of spiritual development became extremely important and prominent. And the fruits of spiritual development of the ancient times were passed on from Buddhism to Asia and to Egypt. And from there, Christianity took birth. And this spiritual heritage was, as it were called, in West. And that is how we find in Europe the growth of spiritual civilization. But all that was effected in a very difficult period when invasions of barbarism, one after the other, had come over Europe. And the light of Christianity was, as it were, like a torchlight, not a searchlight. And before it could be assimilated or before it could make a big impact, there was a reversal. There was some kind of a new development and reaffirmation of the cult of reason. And at this point of time, the greatest light that was developed was the light of science. It is with this light of science that today we have a rationalistic culture, scientific culture, and it has tended to serve the economic organization. And the attempt of the whole mankind today is centered on economic development and arrival at some kind of organization whereby physical life, with the light of science and other facilities which have been created by science, the political, social, economic life could be more securely established. As a result of this, there is today a reversal in which economic organization and the economic aim of life seems to preponderate. And this is exactly the point at which we are. If you allow me, I would like to read out those few lines from Sri Aurobindo just to make ourselves quite precise about what Sri Aurobindo said about world history right from early times to the present day. I shall refer to this particular page in Life Divine. Those who have got centenary edition, it is on page number 1051. But those who don't have the book, doesn't matter, because there is recently a new edition of Life Divine. This is, the Divine Life is the last chapter of the Life Divine. The page number 1051 in the centenary edition. And I'll read out to you that passage. Sri Aurobindo says, our nature is complex and we have to find a key to some perfect unity and fullness of its complexity. Its first evolutionary basis is the material life. Nature began with that, and man also has to begin with it. He has first to affirm his material and vital existence. But if he stops there, there can be for him no evolution. His next and greater preoccupation must be to find himself as a mental being in a material life, both individual and social, as perfected as possible. This was the direction which the Hellenic idea gave to European civilization, and the Roman reinforced or weakened it with the ideal of organized power, the cult of reason, the interpretation of life by an intellectual thought, critical, utilitarian, organizing, and constructive. The government of life by science are the last outcome of this inspiration. But in ancient times, the higher creative and dynamic element was the pursuit of an ideal truth, good and beauty, and the molding of mind, life, and body into perfection and harmony by this ideal. Beyond and above this preoccupation, as soon as mind is sufficiently developed, there awakes in man a spiritual preoccupation, the discovery of a self and emotional of me, and the release of man's mind and life into the truth of the spirits. Perfection by the power of the spirits, the solidarity, unity, mutuality of all beings in the spirits. This was the Eastern ideal carried by Buddhism and other ancient disciplines to the coasts of Asia and Egypt, and from there poured by Christianity into Europe. But these motives, burning for a time like dim torchlights in the confusion and darkness created by the barbaric flood that had submerged the old civilizations, have been abandoned by the modern spirit, which has found another light, the light of science. What the modern spirit has sought for is the economic, social ultimate, an ideal material organization of civilization and comfort, the use of reason and science and education for the generalization of utilitarian rationality, which will make the individual a perfected social being in a perfected economic society. What remained from the spiritual ideal was, for a time, a mentalized and moralized humanitarianism, relieved of all religious coloring, and a social ethicism, which was deemed all-sufficient to take the place of a religious and individual ethic. It was so far that the race had reached and found itself very forward by its own momentum into a subject to chaos, and a chaos of its life in which all received values were overthrown and all firm ground seemed to disappear from its social organization, its conduct, and its culture. This is, according to me, one of the best quotations in the Life Divine, where Sri Aurobindo has summarized the history of the world from the beginning to the present day. The briefest and the most precise summary